sian de telefratustas. Por massanda le brico l'anderisce che andesta de brucuma. For I have heard the enemy shouting in your ear, fraud, hypocrite. If they at church saw you at home, they would not accept you. And the enemy would point out every failing and every fault as though I did not know them. There's a lot of revelation right there. I had to pause and think about that for a moment. But I say unto you, if you have believed on me and the work of my Son, then you have passed from death unto life, and you shall not come into condemnation. I have seen you at your worst. I have seen you at your best. And I love you still. And all I ask is that you humble yourself and allow my Spirit to bring you into the fullness of all the inheritance I have prepared for you, says your Father. Y'all glad to be saved? I've been lost. I've been so lost. I walked away from the Lord 3 times, you know, in my life. Most people wouldn't have taken me back. I want you to know the Lord didn't only take me back. He sent guerrilla fighters after me. Come over and snatched me out of the business world. He was not content to have eternity without me. What kind of love is that? What kind of love is that with all my faults and all my failings and all my flaws? And he says, I'm not willing to live eternally without him. I will not rest until he's home. What kind of love are we dealing with? I think you can be seated. I think we've started already. Amen. Open your Bibles to John chapter 3. And we're going to do a little progression in the book of John. And then you can put a marker. I'm giving you some time, but I pray please don't read ahead. But this is back where the pages are still new. So put a marker in Ezekiel 47. But we're going to start in John 3. And if you weren't here for the 8:30 service, then Mark Jenkins did the 8:30. The 7th of November. 2010, I need to put that on there so people can find the message. Because this is almost part two in a way, but it's with a different aspect. As I heard Mark teaching this morning, this vision that the Lord taught me before, I just couldn't get away from it. We're going to talk about the living water today. The living water that first comes to you, but then through you comes to the world. Mark used this analogy, which is so true. It's, you know, Jesus is standing out in the deep, you know. He's out there standing on the water in the deep end of the pool. And all of us, we're in the shallow end of the pool, you know, where the water is about knee deep. We feel very safe there. Our feet are touching the bottom. We're not in fear of drowning there, but we're in the water. And it's good water. It's fun. We're having a good time. Let us just stay right here, Lord. This is great. Me and the other kiddies. Of course, we call ourselves apostles. But anyway, we're in the shallow end of the pool, where it's about knee deep or so. But see, Jesus is standing out there in the deep end of the pool. And He always says, come. He's saying, come on out here. Come. And something in us wants to come there. But something else in us fears to go there. And we'll get into that part in a minute. But let's talk about the living water. And we're going to start in John chapter 3 with this man named Nicodemus. It's really important that you read what he really says. He wasn't asking how to get saved. He knew that Jesus was a man of God. And he saw the things that God did through Jesus. And what he was really wanting to know is, how can I do the same things? Look at what he says. John chapter 3. He said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So this is a high up guy. He's not a little guy. He's a ruler. And the same came to Jesus by night. Why did he come at night? Didn't want to be seen. Yet he loved the Lord. I mean, he was really, truly had a hungry heart. He said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. What did he know? You're a teacher. And we know that you've come from God. So he's coming to be taught. I know you're a teacher. And I know you've come from God. Well, how do you know it, Nicodemus? Well, because no man can do these miracles. No man can do these miracles that you do, except God be with him. Now, he's approaching Jesus, knowing he's a man sent from God, and that God's working through him. And he says, I know you're a teacher. What's the implication? Teach me. And he thought it was a simple matter of, well, I could do that too, if I could be taught. So would you teach me? But Jesus begins to give him a truth that is far beyond his understanding at the moment. Because he's looking and he's saying, he cuts right to the chase. He says, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. I'm sure Nicodemus is going, what? What does that have to do? I came here to be taught. So Nicodemus, he hears that response, except a man be born again. So he says, well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? But see, that's a perfectly natural, or let's say reasonable question from a natural man. A man who's all he knows are the things of the world and how the worldly things operate. He's going, well, he's thinking like a natural person would think, and that's the problem. So Jesus said again, he says, now, truly, truly, verily, verily. In other words, I'm serious. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wants, where it lists, and you can hear the sound of it, but you can't see it. You can't tell where it's coming from, where is it going. In other words, you can't look at the outside of a person. You can't tell if they're born of the Spirit or not. You can tell by the effects. Ask someone that's been through a tornado. Did it have any effect? Can the wind have an effect? Oh yeah, so does the Spirit. Well, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said, art thou a master of Israel or a teacher in Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know, and we testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. And I've told you, if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? It was years and years before I understood this is where Paul got 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Or at least he could have gotten it from here. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 2 will tell you, until you've received the Spirit which is of God, you can't even know the things that are given to you of God. Because they are what? How are they discerned, people? They're spiritually discerned. See, Nicodemus doesn't know it. He thought he could just come, sit down opposite Jesus. Here, I know you're a teacher. Teach me how to do these miracles. And Jesus going, you got a whole lot bigger problem than you know. Now, Jesus was being real nice. I probably would have said, Nicodemus, you're dead as a doornail and don't know it. You're of the wrong species. You can't even be in the kingdom. You got to be born again. Now, see, we've all been taught eloquently about all of that, but Nicodemus, he didn't know anything about being born again. Who but God could come up with a plan where a person could die to the family he was first born to spiritually, Adam, and then be reborn, even if you're physically old, be reborn as a new child in the kingdom of God. You'd have to think you could give life to think like that. Oh, hallelujah. But you'd have to think you could raise the dead. His ways might be higher than our ways. Well, anyway, let's go on here a little bit. Now, I want to get to John 3:16. For God, he's still talking to Nicodemus. And he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him, now get this, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Why? Well, Nicodemus didn't know it then. We know it now. All the condemnation that we so richly deserved, Jesus took it all upon himself. And if you can believe that, and ask him into your heart, you can be born a brand new creature, a new species, a new spirit will come into you that is spawned from God himself, and you are whiter than snow. God. It's life. It is literally life from the dead. Fast forward to chapter 4. This is where he met the Samaritan woman at the well. We'll pick it up in verse 9. We're coming to the living water. There he says, in John chapter 3, he said, you won't perish, but you'll have everlasting life. He teaches us a little more about that life in chapter 4. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy food, meat. Well, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. How many of you have drunk from that well? Now notice, nothing is by accident. When he uses an illustration like a well, there's a reason. See, a well is, there's no current with a well. This well, he said, is, where is it? It's going to be within you. It's a well that you can draw from forever. And it's for you to drink. And it doesn't matter where you might be in the world. It doesn't matter the circumstances you're in. It doesn't matter good, bad, indifferent, what's going on with the economy, what's going on with the family, what's going on in your body, what's going on. I don't care what. You can always drink from that well. And it's been 30 years ago now. And I raised in church, knew better. Went after the world several times, not just once, more than once. Knew I had a call of God on my life. Didn't know what it was, but I knew I was called, and still went after the world more than once. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. The way I understand it now, my God, who created everything, saw my rebellion and said, I am not willing to go through eternity without Him. What kind of love is that? Where I just walk away from Him. I just walk away knowing better. And He sends what I call a guerrilla fighter. He knew I wasn't coming back to church, so He sent somebody after me in the business world. He says, I'm not willing to do without Him. Go and seek and save my son. And He kept coming until He got me too. Can you tell? But see, this time I got something I didn't get before. That time I got something. We're going to look at something different than a well. The well is wonderful. I've been drinking from that well now for 30 years. But God, there's another thing besides a well. Chapter 3, He talked about everlasting life. Chapter 4, He talks about this well of water that can be in you. This well of living water that you can drink from. But He's got more. Now go on to chapter 7. Let's talk about the living water. Start in verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and He cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now that's the well. He talked about that already. If you're thirsty, you can come to Jesus. When you come to Him, you get reborn. There is a spirit created on the inside of you. I like to call it your portal to heaven. It is your access to God. It's by that spirit you're able to drink. You're able to drink from the living water yourself. But notice in the next verse, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, and it's not talking about your literal stomach, out of your core, out of your spirit, shall flow rivers, plural, of living water. Now, there is just a big difference, my brothers and sisters, between a well and a river. This well is inside of me. It's a well that I can drink from. When you come to Jesus, you've got that well on the inside of you. All you have to do is just bow to Him inside. If I don't know how else to put it. Worship. What is that? It's where you bow to Him within yourself. You bow to Him. And you begin to drink from that living water yourself. And it doesn't matter, again, the circumstances. It doesn't matter good, bad, indifferent, the economy. They can be about ready to take your head off like there was with Stephen, about to stone him to death. And he had access to heaven by that well that was on the inside of him. Glory to God. But see, that's all for you to drink. But what are these rivers of living water coming out now? These There, out of his belly, out of your spirit, out of your core shall flow rivers of living water. This isn't really talking about the new nature. It's not talking about what you drink from. Look, he tells you in the next verse exactly what he's talking about. But this spake he of the Spirit, capital S. Should be capital S. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. See, that was the difference. When this little guerrilla fighter came after me back in 1980, he not only brought me to the well, he brought me to the river. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and my backsliding days were over. I'm telling you now, you cannot backslide. I didn't have to backslide. The new nature alone is enough for you to walk a righteous life before the Lord. It is. It's enough. But how many knows Romans chapter 8 says, but the Spirit himself, he also helps us against our infirmities. Those weak, what are those infirmities? It's everything in us. It's every weakness. It's every stronghold. It's everything in us. The new nature helps, but boy, that Holy Spirit, he helps. But see, the Holy Spirit, he becomes a river flowing out of you. There's a big difference between a well and a river. Well, when Mark was teaching this morning, when he got to that part about the shallow end of the pool, I couldn't help it. The Holy Spirit brought this passage, this picture before me again in Ezekiel. So turn over there now to Ezekiel 47. Now, the aspect I'm going to talk about here of the Holy Ghost, there's a lot more to the Holy Ghost than just speaking with other tongues. But speaking with other tongues is something that you get when you are filled with the Holy Ghost. You can be born again and not have that river flowing out of you. The analogy I'm going to use this morning, I'm really going to be talking about tongues because there's an aspect here. See, that well was for you to drink from. The rivers that are going to flow out of you is how the Lord's going to use you so others can drink. You're going to see here in a little bit where these rivers go. Everywhere they go, everything they touch shall live. You're going to see it. And Ezekiel here, by the Spirit, is having a vision of the temple. In the Old Testament, the temple was a physical place made with stones. But in the New Testament, it says God's not using stones now to build his temple. He's building his temple with lively stones. Hello, stones. We are the temple collectively. You are a portion of his temple individually. And out of you is not, there's a well in you. Well, out of you also is going to come rivers. And I hesitate to use the word ministry, but that's what it is. For some of you that's hearing my voice, it will be maybe fivefold, full-time ministry. That is only one tiny portion of the body of Christ. The vast majority of these rivers are going to flow are not going to be through the fivefold because they're the vast minority of his temple. The vast majority of his temple are made up out of the lively stones who go to work every day, who teach school every day, who care for children every day, who are in the business world every day, and he wants the rivers of ministry, those rivers of living water, to flow from you. Now, I have to preface this by something that literally happened in my life. How many of you know, have you heard enough to know that I love my parents? I had good parents. Still have good parents. My daddy's name is O.R. Carpenter. Born in his heyday, in his prime. About 6'1", broad at the shoulder, narrow at the hip. You didn't want to give any lip to O.R. Carpenter now, I mean. He was intimidation with boots, I'm telling you now. And he was a man's man, but he was a good man. He taught me always, work hard, be honest. Your word is your bond. He said, son, I'm telling you right now, if they can't trust your word, they can't trust you. Nothing on this earth is more important than your word. And when you give it, you keep it. If it kills you, you keep it. That's a good daddy. He was also a little rough. Before my daddy got saved, he had a reputation in Shawnee, Oklahoma. I'm going to clean it up for church. They'll still say to this day that O.R. Carpenter was the meanest SOB to ever come out of Shawnee. I asked him one time, I said, how did you get that reputation? He said, well, these three guys jumped me one time. And they didn't give me a choice. I had to fight them. And I whooped them all. And I liked it. So I just decided to keep on doing it. But I remember when Daddy got saved. He was in his 30s when he got saved. And he was a hard drinker. And I still remember it. We still lived in the trailer houses. And I remember the day that my daddy come home, and everywhere in that trailer house where he had hidden whiskey and I don't know what all kinds of alcohol, I remember him taking every bottle, pouring it down the sink. I never saw him take another drink again until he was in his 70s. And that was just to get a little calmness for his legs so he could go to sleep. Never saw him get drunk ever again. Now, I said all that to say this, though. He's a man's man. You got that? Let me tell you how he taught me to swim, because we're talking about waters. I think I was roughly 5 or 6. I have a vivid memory of it to this day. He said something about, I know, remember we were camped by a lake. Everyone say lake. A lake does not have a current. You understand that? A lake does not have a current like a river. This is important. You'll see why in a minute. Here's how my daddy, somehow it came up in the conversation, Gary can't swim. Dad said, what? I remember he got me by the arm, led me to the edge of the water. He waded in waist deep, about where just about up to my neck, my chin. He picked me up out of the water, threw me as far as he could into the deep water. I opened my eyes as I'm sinking below the surface of the waves, and what I can see is my daddy's back as he's walking away. I think I heard the word swim. I don't remember. Can you tell I made it? I'm telling you right now, that's not the way God does it. I'm going to prove it to you from His Word, see? But I did learn to swim anyway. Now, what reason? One of the questions, I didn't even know this was his subject really till a little while ago. So everyone wants to fulfill their calling. Whether or not you're called to fivefold or not, don't you all want to do? And you know He has ministry through you. You know He can use you somehow. Most people don't know how. And if you've disobeyed Him for years like I did, then He may have to do a little bit of throwing you into the deep end of the pool sometimes. It seemed that way to me, but really it wasn't. It was my rebellion that caused that to happen. He had been trying to take little baby steps for years with us. But if you'll follow this passage here in Ezekiel 47, if you'll learn to do it this way, He will lead you into the fullness of His ministry through you. And if you let Him do that, you'll find everything He does through you, everywhere you let the waters flow, will bring life in every situation. All right, so now Ezekiel is seeing a picture of the temple. He's seeing a vision of the temple. But I don't want you to think about a temple in Israel. I don't want you to think about a temple in heaven. This is all prophecy concerning the true. This is the shadow. We're walking in the real that made the shadow. You are this temple. So when it talks about waters flowing out of the temple, He's talking about ministry flowing out of you. These are the living rock waters. And the reason He connects that up with the Holy Ghost is, we've been taught eloquently by Pastor Dave, when you begin to let those tongues roll out of you, even though you don't know what it is you're saying, Romans chapter 8 tells you The Holy Spirit knows God's plan for you. He knows what your ministry is. He knows what how God wants to use you. And He begins to make intercession for you. Those mysteries that He is literally praying God's life, God's ministry through you. And you're praying your future. You don't even know what it is at this point. So the Holy Spirit goes, I know what it is. If you'll let me, I will make that intercession for you and I will pray out God's plan for the next 10 years, 20 years, however long it is of your life, if you'll let me do it. That's how it begins. Add worship, add fasting, add all of these other things and you're putting afterburners on your jets. But that's part of what he's talking about, letting those rivers begin to flow up. In our case, it started with other tongues. Letting those mysteries. I didn't know God's plan. We'd been trying to serve God for 12 years, but it was kind of a hit and miss thing. So one aspect of it, this isn't the only thing, but one aspect of it, let those rivers begin to flow. Begin to let those tongues come out of you. Let them roll. Even if you only have one word. Remember, I had two. Christo Monday. That was it. And Sue can tell you, she heard me, Christo Monde, Christo Monde, Christo Monde, Christo Monde, Christo Monde, Christo Monde. That's all I had. But as I continued to use that, then more syllables came, and the trickle became a river. All right, well, now let's read this. I love this. Ezekiel 47, starting in verse 1. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then he brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. And the waters were where? Sounds like the kiddie into the pool. The waters were to the ankles. And again he measured 1,000. And he did what? He brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, and he brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. And afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. Now let's see what the effect is. I want to come back to this in a minute. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be what? The waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. Everywhere that the rivers come, everything in it shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live wherever that river cometh. That sounds like ministry to me. That sounds like a river flowing out of his temple, bringing life and bringing healing everywhere that it goes. Now let's back up a minute. Let's go back to the analogy here. Notice when he starts off, he says, the waters were only ankle deep. See, I don't see God taking you. I love my daddy. I did learn how to swim. But God's method is normally progression, one stage at a time. He normally does not take you and sling you into the deep end of the pool. He starts where you are, little person in the kiddie pool. We're having church and it's so nice and I'm finally so glad to be saved and I was lost, Jesus, and I'm happy. And he says, and this is great, and I just get to come and sing and I get to worship and it's all great, and Daisy was nice to me and Steve was nice to me and Gary patted me on the back and it was great. And this is wonderful, and can't we just camp here? And Jesus is at the deep end going, step a little deeper. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, as you let that mystery roll out of you, He's going to start taking you from the ankle deep water into the knee deep water. With us, it started with, give that person $10, which doesn't sound like much unless $10 is all you have. Which at the time, that was just about it. $10, started with $10. Started with take a sack of groceries here. Encourage that person. Call that person. Do this, do that. Sometimes we obeyed, sometimes not. We were in the kiddie end of the pool. Then he starts taking you into some knee-deep water, you know, and that's where he says, now I need to have your living room on every Thursday night. And something in you goes, don't you know Thursday night is ours? Now, see, now, bought with a price. What does bought with a price mean to you? Who's, is it your house? Is it my house? You go through these little wars, you know. Go through these big wars. And he's taking you into the knee-deep water, see. And see, every point along the way, get this analogy. When you're in the ankle-deep water, your feet are still very much touching that surface. Have you ever noticed the current isn't very strong in the ankle-deep water? Now, where it's a river, it's not a lake, it's a river. It's got a strong current to it. But who's in control in the ankle-deep water? You are. You can still touch bottom. When you get out into the knee-deep water, now you can feel that current against your knees, you know. You can feel that current, and it's going that way, and maybe you want to go that way. But your toes are still touching the bottom. You're okay, and I'm still in, yes, I'll obey you at the knee-deep level, and you can see the progression. He takes you on out into the loin deep. That's about hip deep, I guess, you know. Now you can really feel the current. I mean, that, it's a river. I got an idea. God's river flows, don't you? I mean, he's trying to get you into the flow here, see, but your toes are still touching the bottom. You're still in control to, he'll ask you to do things, and at every stage, I remember the time he asked me to give my pickup, my beloved pickup, to my worst enemy. And I said out loud, what pickup? I only had one. What? I mean, I could feel the current. But it was still my decision, see. I mean, my feet were still on the floor and on the river bottom. I was still in control and I could make that decision. I could have stayed right there and not gone any farther. There's all kinds of decisions along that path where your feet, you're still in control. He hasn't swept you away yet. But see, if you keep obeying Him, and the trouble of it is, yes, sir. Oh, man. I know and you know, and I know that you know, that you've been, that we all, including yours truly, has stood at certain places for a long time. And you've heard Him say, come. And you go, someday. And He's going, come. Come on out now. Okay. Tim's sitting over there and he knows something. I shared something with him a year ago that God said, come, Gary. And I'm still working at obeying that. How much have you obeyed it? Tiny. 1 gram. And he's still out there. Come. Come. See? But see, the next step is when you go past the loins. Now what happens? When he says, come out into the deep waters. And there's a current. You can feel that current. See, that's what happens to you in the spirit. This is so accurate. As you go through this progression, you begin to get a feel for where he wants to take you. You can feel the current in the spirit. You can't maybe quite describe it to somebody, but The deeper you walk out there, the stronger you can feel that current, and it's trying to take. If it's His river, He's taking you His direction. And your soul may be fighting for control, said, don't you dare walk out deep enough where you can't touch that bottom anymore. Don't you dare, because the moment you do, you've surrendered control of your life completely. See, because at first, you're walking into the river. But at that point, one more step, and now the river is taking you. The river's taking you now. You've lost touch with the bottom. It has become a waters to swim in. And you can swim, you can maneuver a little bit, but that river, if you can picture a fast-moving stream, that river, you can swim. But once you totally lose control of your own life and relinquish it over to Him, that river is going to take you where that river is going. And the best thing you can do at that point is cooperate with it. Does that fit? He was teaching this morning about that kiddie pool. All the time I start looking up those. I said, where is that scriptures about waters, Lord? See, you're at the church where you've been drinking from the well, many of you, for a long time. And we've all stepped out into the river to some degree. Some are ankle deep, some are knee deep, some are loin deep. But I'm telling you, I'm not even sure yet if I'm out there really in the waters to swim in. Apparently I'm not. He's saying no, I'm not. Because I haven't obeyed Him in that one area. That wherever I've been, He's still calling. Come out deeper. Whatever water I'm in now, He's still saying, come out deeper. And I can tell my feet are still on the bottom. Because it's been over a year and I'm still going, no. Out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. See, the idea is get in the flow. Yes, your soul wants to control your life. As long as your soul is controlling your life, that's why your feet are still touching the bottom. But there is a place in God where you're no longer standing in the river. There's a place in God where the river is taking you now. You're going to go where that river takes you. And nothing else will do. Now, it doesn't end there, sadly. I mean, isn't that very good that everywhere that these rivers go, everything that it finds will live? But it does have one little area of death here. Now watch this. Pick it up in verse 10. I'm going to read verse 9 again so you'll have your mind in that same flow. And it shall come to pass that everything that lives which moves, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. Because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Engalem. And they shall be a place to spread forth nets. And their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. What did Jesus say to the 12? Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Very many fish. But let's keep going. Boy, this verse I didn't get for years. Look at this verse 11. But the miry places thereof, and the marshes thereof meaning of the river, shall not be healed. And they shall be given to salt. And I was going, what in the world? So you look up those words, miry places, and it means miry. Shallow. I mean, it's a little, you look up marshy place and it's like marsh. And I'm going, what? It took the Holy Ghost and praying in other tongues to finally get it across to me. And I was seeing from a great distance up, looking at a big river like the Mississippi. You know, that's a big, big river. But you start getting down in low areas, where it doesn't flow so fast. And there can be little areas off to the side of the river where it's very shallow, just a little marshy place. And it, really, the water, for all intent and purposes, there's no current there. There's no flow there. It becomes stagnant. And nothing will live in it. You know, that the perfect example is the Jordan River. You know, God didn't design the earth the way it is for nothing. The Jordan River is full of life. That's where Jesus got baptized. That's where John the Baptist got baptized. That's where you can catch fish all along that thing. And it flows. It's the Jordan River. It flows. But that same river is what feeds into the Dead Sea. And there's, you know, it just ends right there. There's no flow out of the Dead Sea. It becomes stagnant. They also call it the Salt Sea. They call it the Salt Sea. They say you can lay on that thing. You don't need a rubber raft or nothing. You can't drown in it hardly. I mean, you can't, because it's so full of sediment and minerals and salt that you just, that's not where Jesus walked on the water, by the way. But anyway, but nothing will live in it. Why? There is no flow. And there is no depth. See, the miry places, he's talking about these marshy places. There's a lot of churches that are camped close to the river. Let's go beyond churches. Let's get a little more. How many hundreds, if not thousands at this point, have come to the prayer center, heard this message, camped by the river for a while, but never really got in the flow? And they became a little marshy place, a little miry place. There's a little bit of water, but it became stagnant after a while. You can't live in that stagnant water. And there's no life in it. That's the only way, really. See, that would be a hearer of the word, but not a doer. You never really let the river flow. You never really let those tongues begin to roll out of you. You hear Mark teach about worship, but you don't ever enter into worship yourself. You hear Gary teach about confession, but when the enemy comes, all you want to do is lay down and tell everyone how bad you have it. You don't want to take up your shield and take up your sword and charge against that mountain yourself. But thank God it doesn't end there. See, verse 11, you got to be careful. The miry places and the marshy places where there is no flow, that's the key. Whether it's water, but there's no flow and there's no depth, they will not be healed. They shall be given to salt. But verse 12, but by the river, now we're back to the river now, we're not in those marshy, miry places anymore. By the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, and that means food, sustenance, provision, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat or food, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Provision and healing. Everywhere that you go, not only are you in the flow itself, and now God has taken you where he wants you in your life, but everywhere that he takes you, he'll take you into desert places, it says. He'll take you into the bad places. But everywhere that he takes you, if you learn to let these rivers of living water flow, if you learn to get in the flow and let it carry you, everywhere he takes you, the end result will be life. Everything that it touches will live, he says, and there will be, the trees will be for meat, for food, and the trees will be for medicine. It will bring healing to them in Jesus' name. I suggest we get out of the kiddie pool. And see, the way he does come on now. Come into the deep end. It's one step at a time. I know he's called me to be the fivefold apostle. Good. Have you ever been to the church on cleaning day? Clean the carpets? Ever mowed the lawn before the conference? Ever trimmed? Ever? That last time he asked you to share your extra can of chili with a neighbor. It starts on that kind of level. He's ankle deep. Then knee deep. Then to the loins. And notice it's your choice every time. That person that measures in this analogy, that person that measures 1,000, who do you reckon that is? That's the Holy Ghost. Said, you want to go deeper? Then instructions will begin to come to you. And it's your choice up to a certain point. My goal, and I can tell I'm not there. I think Dave is more there than I am. I know Dave. I'll be honest with you, I want to be in that river for swimming. I want to be in those waters for swimming. I want to be in the place where I'm no longer making those decisions, really. I mean, I want to let that current take me. I want to let that river carry me. Because only then, as he starts talking about everywhere that it goes, it brings life. Is that good stuff or what? How many of you are going to pray just a little bit more in other tongues now? See? Now, if you're here today and you've heard this, and maybe you've never even heard the simple gospel message. Did you hear that? How you get saved? Everybody's in the same boat. They're all born lost. He said the world is condemned already. The whole world is born lost. The way you receive life is he that believes on me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on him would not perish, but have this everlasting life. So if you've never been born again, if you don't know for sure that you're saved, that's how you do it. You just come and you say, I confess I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, you're my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you've been raised from the dead. From this point on, you're my Lord. And he'll save you today, right now. You don't have to leave here and wonder if you're saved. You can be saved today and know it. Then if you say, well, I'm saved, but I don't know anything about these tongues. I don't speak with other tongues. I've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, Jesus said, those that believe in my name, they would speak with new tongues. Paul said, I would that you all spoke with tongues. And he said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. I think tongues is a good thing. It allows the Holy Spirit to begin making intercession for you beyond your own intellect. Because he knows the plan of God. So just for a moment here now, every eye closed, every head bowed, just for a moment. If you don't know for sure that you're saved, and you'd like to be saved today, just raise your hand. Do we have anyone here like that? Boy, I was there once. Thank you for that hand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you'd like to be saved and mean it, I want to invite you right now to come up here to this altar. Give them a hand as they come. It's the best decision you ever made in your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to go ahead and dismiss you. This was a great day. This was a great day. Hallelujah. Don't forget that analogy about the rivers. Every person that does this message, whether you know it or not, that's exactly what's happening. He has taken you from ankle deep, knee deep, loin deep. Eventually, he'll bring you into those waters for swimming. Boy, that's a good day, I think. Amen. Going to pray a little bit more? Hallelujah. Sue, would you dismiss these people?
Well, thank you so much, Father, that the rivers of living water, that the Spirit flows out from us to heal people. It's your compassion, Father, and your love for people, and you're building that more and more in us all the time. And that's what people see, the hope that's in us. And the compassion and love heals and delivers people through us everywhere we go. whether it's on the job, in the grocery stores, as we just go about our everyday life, ministering to our children and our grandchildren, Father, proclaiming your word in the authority of the name of Jesus, and allowing the Holy Spirit to move on people's behalf, bringing about your kingdom to come and your will being done in our lives, in our homes, in this city, and in this nation. In Jesus' name, thank you so much, Father, that you bless our bread and water, and you take sickness out of our midst. By the stripes of Jesus, we're healed. Father, I thank you for ministering to every person here today. I thank you so much for all that you're doing in this church, that you're exalted always, Jesus, that you're lifted up, that your name is proclaimed from this place always. I thank you for the provision for everything that's needed to feed the flock of God, to feed all the children coming. Father, I thank you. You provide everything for us. In Jesus' name, amen.